Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Scott, there are certain guys who are a credit to Mid-Michigan based on their athletic performance. There are some that you would want to have as a family member. And then there are a few that are both. And one of them is our next guest, and that is Todd Martin, who has been certainly one of the top names in tennis here over the last several decades in the United States, and also very important locally with the Todd Martin Development Fund. Hello, Todd. How are you?
Good, Jack.
Well, it is tennis camp time, and you are back in Mid-Michigan. What is the number one lesson that you try to impart to the campers?
Well, I don't think that there's really one. There's one focus. You know, we teach leadership and life skills, and we want these kids to be responsible and proactive and contributing members of the community. And I don't think they're in a position to hear one thing and one thing only. And we try to deliver to them a lot more than just that.
I guess a lot of people could teach someone how to deliver a serve, but how do you teach young people the importance of serving and giving back and being the kind of citizens that you want them to be?
I think first the example has to be set, and our staff does a tremendous job of doing that, and they embody a lot of what our program is about. Many of the counselors are graduates of our programs. And after that, you get a curriculum that is worthy and applicable to their lives, and give it your best shot.
All right. In the interest of full disclosure, it should be noted that Todd Martin is a columnist in the August issue of Sport Magazine, which is on its way to the printer, and written a great piece talking about community and children and tennis, and that's a pretty powerful team when you put them together, Todd.
Well, that was, you know, Jack, that's the birth of the Todd Martin Development Fund. 16, 17 years ago, I sat down with Rick Furman, my longtime coach, and he had some great ideas about getting me involved in the community, and you know, just sort of opened up the door for me to do a little brainstorming with him. And you know, the three things that I felt most obliged to honor and give back to were, besides my family, were, you know, kids, the community of Lansing, and the sport of tennis. All have either given me great joy or brought me a lot of developmental opportunities through my life.
Tell us a little bit about this week. You coming back to town, and what's going on with the development fund and with the camp?
Well, we're getting close to the end of our second summer session, and there's a lot going on this week. I've got I'll spend the next couple of days roaming our sites from Eastern High to LCC to Wainwright Elementary School and a couple others. And then we've got a little reception to thank those who've supported us in the past and introduce the program to new possible contributors tomorrow night at Walnut Hills from 5:30 to 8.
Okay.
And then Friday morning, good friend and longtime sponsor Jack Griffin from Farm Bureau Insurance putting on a golf outing to, and all the proceeds will come to the development fund. And then on Friday afternoon, we're taking all the kids in the program on a field trip to the national, the boys 18 and 16 and unders junior nationals up in Kalamazoo.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty intensive 3 days for me, and one I've been looking forward to, and one that'll make me go a little bit more gray than I already am.
Well, that's Stowe Stadium in Kalamazoo. My son went to Kalamazoo College, and I think they've won about 75 straight MIAA titles there. So that is indeed one of the great tennis venues. How many students do you have in the program this year, and how is that number compared to past years, Todd?
Well, last year we were up over 400, and this year I don't think we're quite as high. We're probably in the 350 to 400 range.
Okay.
And, you know, that's an awful lot of bodies. It's our capacity is being approached, and we're constantly trying to figure out ways to serve the demand that exists in mid-Michigan. And fortunately, we've got a board of directors that's creative and energetic and constantly looking for ways to raise more money so that we can serve more kids.
Todd Martin, our guest here on Ebling & You, 1320 WILS. Todd, we are getting very close to U.S. Open time, and a lot of interest now in what's going to happen there. Roger Federer, not himself, the last couple of majors, and Rafael Nadal looks like he could be in a position to maybe start putting on a string and win as many majors as Roger Federer did.
Well, I was actually playing some tennis last night with a friend, and we started talking. If somebody told me that Nadal ended up with 17, one more than Federer has now, I can't say I'd call a bluff on that. I think that it's within the realm of possibility, but at the same time, that's four or five more really good years for him.
Right.
And you know, the blessing for Federer was that he logged a lot in the early to mid part of his career, sort of 23 to 25. He was humming right along, and I don't think Fed is done. I think he's got more in him. I think he in the last couple of years he's hit a couple of these patches where he seems un-Roger-like, but come around summertime, I think he's got more left in the tank than most guys. I think he manages the schedule as well as probably anybody other than Sampras ever has. And I think he usually enters U.S. Open confident, regardless of the form that he's been showing. And I'd expect more of the same this summer in New York.
Todd Martin, our guest on Ebling & You. Todd, what's the longest match you ever played?
Well, it was at one point in time the longest or second longest ever in U.S. Open history. In 93, I lost to Richard Krajicek in 5 hours and 15 minutes or 5 hours and 10 minutes, something like this. And I still remember like it was yesterday coming into the training room after I'd taking it on the chin, but really, I mean, the pain of the match didn't even, you know, it didn't really register. And I laid down on the training table, and one of the trainers came over and just put his hand on my back. I was laying on my stomach. He just put his hand on my back, and my back just started cracking, top up and down. I think I just compressed so much, and I can only imagine what 6'9", 6'10", John Isner felt 11 hours in.
Yeah, you know where I'm going with this. Can you imagine what those guys went through? And then, you know, hey, they play 59-59 here, and then, you know, they're not done. They got to come back out and go at it again. Can't imagine any event in American sport that's really been a more grueling test. Talk about the Ironman triathlon. This was all occurring on a tennis court.
Well, and you know, the big difference with us is that, you know, most endurance sports, but for you know, the bicycle tours, are one event and then that's it. And you know, these guys, this was their first round, and they played four sets. They played four sets one day, and then they came back and played the equivalent of seven or eight sets, and then they came back and played the equivalent of of two more sets. And Mathieu, the fellow that lost the match that afternoon, had to go back out and play doubles, best of five sets also. And Isner the next day had to go out and play another singles match. It's substantial. Admittedly, we get good breaks in between points and a minute here and there between the odd numbered games, but it's a lot to go through. And I think either one of them, well into that second day where they're just building the fifth set, I think they both realized what toll it was taking on them and their chances of doing as well as they wanted to do at Wimbledon coming into the tournament.
Tennis is not boxing, Todd, but you know, occasionally you'll see a boxing match, and you know that guys are going to pay the price for that for a long, long time. Would you guess that these guys would be feeling residual effects maybe into 2011?
No, I think you know, there was a little sensationalizing and talk of that when we were over in London, but in all honesty, these guys have recovered. John Isner was in the finals of his first tournament this summer, mm-hmm. on the hard courts in Atlanta just a couple weeks ago.
Okay,
no worse for the wear. And you know what it does do is these Grand Slam tournaments are played over 2 weeks. They're meant to be played matches to be played every other day. It just takes them out of the running for
right.
For that tournament, which, you know, if John Isner had the choice of making a run into the quarterfinals of Wimbledon or the finals of the tournament down in Atlanta a couple of weeks ago, he'd take the quarterfinals in Wimbledon in a heartbeat.
Sure.
And, you know, but I think he proved a lot to himself, and both those guys will have a great memory and a lot more opportunities to get through matches a little bit easier than that one.
Todd, who wins the 2010 men's singles at the U.S. Open?
I'm going to choose Federer. I think that I just like the fact that he's under the radar a little bit, and as long as he's healthy, I think he's the best fast court player, and it's going to be a bit of a thin field this year with some guys who've really struggled with injury this year.
Todd Martin, number six on our all-time list of greatest athletes out of mid-Michigan, a Northwestern product, East Lansing. And Todd, we appreciate everything that you do for this community. If someone wants more information about the Todd Martin Development Fund, what should they do?
Well, the website is www.toddmartinkids.org. And that's the best way to go. And we've got all our contact information, address, and phone numbers to get in touch with Nancy Danhoff, our executive director.
Right.
Jack, you know, I'd just like to thank you for all the support you've given us over the many years we've been doing this.
Well, you do a great job, and have a great week, Todd.
Thanks, Jack.
All right. We will be back with our final segment, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.